The Trinity Center for Spiritual Living appreciates your selecting our podcast service as a part of your spiritual journey. The TCSL podcast has over 1,000 downloads a month worldwide by individuals just like you seeking to expand their spiritual magnificence. To express your gratitude and donate for the good you hear and the growth you experience from our lesson, visit our website at trinitycenteratlanta.org/donate. As you donate, affirm, "My offering affirms my commitment and my willingness to be an inlet and an outlet for the abundant good and energy of Divine Spirit."
So we're going to talk about all month long living in joy. And I've decided to use one quote from Esther Hicks, which is one of my favorites as our guide for the month of March and for living in joy. And I think it's one of the most profound quotes I've ever read. And she said, and you'll find it on your affirmation card, Esther said, "It's not just that your purpose is joy. It's that you are joy. You are love and joy and freedom and clarity, expressing energy, frolicking and eager. That's who you are." And we believe that in being so focused on learning the practice of our teaching, there is a tendency of a few to forget to live this teaching. They forget the joy, the freedom, and the love of Source that they are. And right now, in this moment, that you are. They forget that all of that is realized in the being joy. And while the doing? Why, the doing allows for this frolicking energy to exponentially expand. Now, make no mistake about it, our purpose today is to walk the talk. So yes, as I mentioned, I stand here today with a recent Bell's palsy diagnosis, and more than likely triggered by a serious cold I had a couple of weeks ago. And turns out that Bell's palsy can be triggered by a non-contagious virus that attaches to the seventh cranial nerve. So, when all the symptoms finally came to light Wednesday morning, I realized I was unable to completely smile, close my left eye, and so I called Dan into my home office and I said, "Don't freak out. However, I'm going to finish my coffee, take a shower, and then I'm going to go to the ER, as it seems I might be having a slight issue." And Dan replied, "We're going now." And I said, "But my coffee." Dan said, "Now." I said, "Coffee." And back and forth, it went for a while until I realized this was not a battle I was going to win. So, for the record, the symptoms of Bell's palsy present pretty much like the symptoms of a stroke with some facial paralysis. So at the Embry ER, when I walked in, baby, let me tell you, they whisked me right away to an exam room like I was a VIP. I could hear other folks in the waiting room mumbling, "Why does he get to go right in? I've been here longer." It was awesome. Well, all the tests were done, and they drew the blood and all that great stuff. And just as I knew, they confirmed that there was nothing seriously wrong other than to make a complete smile and close my left eye. So you see, I could have finished my coffee. I also knew to allow the ER staff to verify what I already knew. I also knew that it was important for me in that moment to have some fun with the nurse and the doctor, who were fantastic, and even laughed when I said, "Could you please bring in some very serious tranquilizers?" And they said, "Are you feeling anxious?" I said, "No, but Dan is." Y'all, he was in hawk mode. So yesterday, we hosted the Atlanta Peace Meditation. Today we have service. This afternoon we have board meeting. So what does this have to do with the Bell's palsy diagnosis? It's simple, really. The Bell's palsy is a very temporary physical issue of my body that is resolving as we speak. The ability to be joy, love, freedom, energy, frolicking with the intent of expansion is a permanent state of my being, as it is with yours. And you and I get to choose which state of energy that we will offer to the universe at all times. So let us choose joy. Let us choose joy when faced with all that is endlessly good and holy, and let us choose joy when faced with any type of temporary adversity of the external realm. In the Science of Mind textbook, Dr. Holmes shared an affirmation of his. And the affirmation is, I am a gift of joy that God gives to the world. How we choose to express this divine gift of the energetic joy that we are with the world serves as the foundation for all the boundless joy, love, and freedom life itself endlessly flows back to our journey. To be clear, I am not saying I have found joy in the temporary experience of Bell's palsy. Far from it. I find it a tad annoying. I am merely saying the energy and vibration of the joy that I am, the joy that you are, cannot be limited by anything or anyone outside of ourselves. So I would never rob myself of the gift of the joyful feeling I have when I am honored to be with you. Why, to do so would be to refuse a gift from the universe. So instead, I choose to walk the talk, to live joy, to express joy, to allow my energy to frolic in the freedom and love within the two highest vibrations of Source, the vibration of you and the vibration of being joy, which is the title of our lesson this morning, Being Joy. So I want to share a little parable. I love this parable. And it's about a teenager. He's out in the driveway playing basketball, right? March Madness. Y'all know about March Madness at the center? So I'm going to keep bringing that up. Anyhow, so this teenager's out playing basketball in the driveway, and he loses his contact lens. And as most teenagers, he kind of gives it a cursory view to try to look for it. And after just a few minutes, he gives up. And he goes inside and tells his mother what happened, and she immediately walks out to the driveway, walks up and down it, and she found the lens within just a couple of minutes. And the teenager was amazed. And he asked his mother, how in the world did you do that? And she said, it's simple, really. We weren't looking for the same thing. You were looking for a piece of plastic. I was looking for $150. So here's the moral. One event, two different outcomes. Why? Because the event was chosen to be perceived differently by the individuals involved. Ralph Marston said, your destiny is to fulfill those things upon which you focus most intently. So choose to keep your focus on that which is truly magnificent, beautiful, uplifting, and joyful. Your life is always moving towards something. That something life is moving towards is the predominant focus of your thoughts, the predominant focus of your feelings, of your heart, the predominant vibrations of your soul, being joy, unbridled, unmitigated, ecstatic, passionate joy is achieved by choosing to live from and as the vibrations of the words we shared from the wisdom of Holmes. I am a gift of joy that God gives to the world. You are, you know. You are a gift of joy that God has gifted life. And how you choose to live this truth is your gift back to Source. joy of the source of living expressing and experiencing itself is expanded every time you laugh, every time you love, every time you express some unsolicited act of kindness and compassion, every time you choose to remain centered in a vibration of joy regardless of the current circumstance. Alignment with the divine energetic vibration of joy is achieved within the focused intention, not within the external demonstration. Every morning of every day, we want to be like the little kids getting out of bed and exclaiming, I will fill this day with overflowing joy, love, and laughter. Living as the ever-present joy of my divinity in the now. And that is my constant and joyful choice. And it is, you know, and I can tell you this, I truly expect to get a few good laughs out of this temporary condition called Bell's palsy. I mean, think about this. At the moment, I am unable to completely pucker my lips. My left eye tears up, and I can't close it completely. It's really hard to raise both my eyebrows. How funny is that? I'm a one-eyed, half-puckered, tearful minister. Paint me purple, let me fly, and put me on TV as a televangelist. It's important you understand you're laughing with me, right? Wayne Dyer said, what we think determines what happens to us. So if we want to change our lives, we need to stretch our minds. And the way we stretch our minds is by stretching our consciousness just through the intention through which we share our minds. Do we want to stretch our minds with thoughts of fear and doubt? Or do we want to stretch our minds with those things that bring joy to our heart? Those thoughts that allow us to say, wow, in this moment, regardless of what's out there, I know what's in here is the infinite creative power of Source. And that is what I'm going to choose to demonstrate. We can stretch our minds with the excitement and anticipation of what joy may bring in the moment. By knowing that no matter what happens in the next moment, it's going to be all good because it's currently all God. That's a constant choice we have to make. Joseph Campbell said, we cannot cure the world of sorrows, but we can choose to live in joy. So look, we get it. Oh my God, there's so much. Don't watch the news. Look, when you're watching the news, realize you're watching a reality TV show whose producers like to create drama. And it's not that I'm saying don't be informed. I'm saying be aware. Be aware that they're trying to draw you in. And when we hear all that bad news stuff on the TV, what we're really doing is allowing our attention to be focused on something other than the joy that we can bring. So we're not going to change the things we see on TV. We're only going to change how we choose to interact, to interact and to accept what we see going on in the world. So we can choose to say, oh my goodness, oh, that's horrible. I'm going to stay inside and lock the door. Or we can choose to say, no, I'm going to go out and be that beacon of light I know I can be. Now, some might say, oh, well, he's talking about being really Pollyannish right now, right? Only look at the good thing, right? Only look on the bright side. Well, damn straight. You know why that is? Because when we look on the bright side, it's not about seeing the bright side. It's about choosing to stand in the light of God that we are. It's about choosing to know that if I cast a shadow, it's going to be a casting a shadow of joy. That's what we want to do. And you cast that shadow, you're standing in high noon in perfect alignment every day. Dr. Seuss said, greatest metaphysician of all time, you have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. Isn't that awesome? So we can steer ourselves wherever we want to go. Somebody said, well, are you going to do church Sunday? Well, yeah. I mean, it's been what? 20 minutes? 15 minutes? Y'all been laughing your behinds off. I'm loving this. But we're making some valid points. I have to live what I know. And what I know is that the joy that I experience from being with you guys is a gift from the universe. And I'm never, ever going to turn that gift down. Never. Well, except for we have a trip coming up at the end of the month. So I'll be living in the vibration of joy for you at the beach. But remember, we can steer ourselves any direction we choose. Rumi said, when you do things from your soul, you feel a river moving in you, a joy. A joy. When you do things from your soul, what are those things that are calling to you right now? Say, let's expand. Let's do something that brings happiness, that brings laughter, that allows me to just stand in the awareness that this is the day that Source within me has made. Don't negate that. That is your calling. That is your purpose. That is how you go about being joy. By effortlessly flowing on that river of joy that you are. I want to share a couple of stories with you. And we want to share these stories because we believe they tie in perfectly with being our purpose for being joy and how our offering the vibration of joy to life may up-level, and transform the trajectory of our journey. So the first story is about Norman Cousins, right? And a lot of people don't know this, but years ago, Norman Cousins was diagnosed with a terminal illness. And he was given 6 months to live. His chances for recovery was 1 in 500. And he could see that his depression, his anger in his life contributed to and perhaps helped cause his disease. And so he wondered if this illness can be caused by negativity. Could wellness be created by being positive? So he decided to make an experiment of himself. Laughter was one of the most positive activities he knew. He rented all the funny movies he could find, Keaton, Chaplin, Field, the Marx Brothers. So, of course, this was before downloading movies and even before VCRs. So, you know, he was at the Blockbuster a lot. Blockbuster, folks, that are under 30, that's an old store we used to visit. And he would ask his friends to call him whenever they said, heard, or did something funny. And his pain was so great initially that he couldn't sleep at night. But he found that laughing for 10 solid minutes relieved the pain that he was experiencing for several hours so he could sleep. He fully recovered from his illness and lived another 20 happy, healthy, and productive years. Norman Cousin detailed the transformation of this trajectory of his journey in his book, Anatomy of an Illness. And in his book, he credits visualization, love of family and friends, and laughter for his recovery. French philosopher Pierre de Chardin wrote, joy is the infallible sign of the presence of God. course, Norman Cousins lived 20 years after the doctors misread his expiration date. He chose to surround, embody, and align himself with that which would allow him to express and experience the vibration of joy. Not only did his conscious choice change the focus of his mind, the choice to express and experience joy and laughter transformed his vibration. And that vibration, being up-leveled, changed his experience. I want to share one mother story. I love this. And it concerns Mendelssohn. What's Mendelssohn's first name, the music composer? Yeah. Felix Mendelssohn. I think classical one. Okay. So I know him well. Anyhow. Felix's grandfather was Moses Mendelssohn. And the grandfather Moses was the grandfather of the German composer, Felix Mendelssohn, but the grandfather was said by many to not be very handsome. And along with a small stature, he had a physical deformity of a hunchback, right? And one day he was visiting a merchant in Hamburg. And this merchant had a lovely daughter named Frumgy. And Moses fell hopelessly in love with her. But Frumgy was not used to seeing someone with his physical appearance. And she would look away from him. And he would go and visit and visit. She would never look at him. And so he was there one day, trying again just to make eye contact with her, and she wouldn't. And when it came time to leave, he decided that he would gather up as much courage as he could, and he climbed the stairs to her room to take one last chance to speak to her. And to Moses, she was a vision of just heavenly beauty that caused him deep sadness because of her refusal to look at him. And after several attempts at conversation, Moses shyly asked, "Do you believe marriages are made in heaven?" And still looking at the floor, Frumgy said, "Yes." "And do you?" And Moses replied, "Why, yes, I do. You see, in heaven, at the birth of each boy, the Lord announces which girl he will marry. When I was born, my beautiful future bride was pointed out to me. Then the Lord added, and your wife will have the physical deformity of a hunchback." "Right then and there," Moses said, "I called out, 'O Lord, O woman of such beauty, to carry around a deformity would be a tragedy of the wonderful creation you have made. Please give me the hump and let her stay beautiful.'" It was then Frumgy looked up into his eyes as if stirred by some deep memory, and she reached out and she gave Mendelssohn her hand. And she later became his devoted wife. See, if Moses had accepted the idea that his physical appearance would keep him somehow from experiencing the joy of love, rather than nurturing the vibration of joy welling up inside of him when he saw Frumgy, the world would have never known the joy of Felix Mendelssohn's music. That is a joy, that energy of joy that is expanded exponentially when we choose to nurture it. Oprah Winfrey said, "I define joy as the sustained sense of well-being and internal peace, a connection to what matters. A connection to what matters. So what matters to you? What matters to you? Does it matter to you that it is important for you to live in alignment with the vibration of joy? Is it important to you to know that for you to succeed in life in any endeavor, health, love, wealth, success, whatever it is, that alignment with Source, that higher vibration, requires us to consistently offer that same vibration to the universe. Now, is it easy? Is it sometimes easy to say, oh my God, half my face doesn't move? No, it's not. It's not. But I can tell you what is easy. What's easy is the awareness that this too shall pass. This ain't no big deal. That this is a part of the journey, and it's a part of the journey that I've accepted because, I mean, oh my God, I've never used props in 20 years of ministry, and now I can. It's not about what happens. It's about what we do with what happens. It's about the energy that we choose to express when confronted with something before in our lives. And when we express energy that knows, a conscious awareness that knows, whatever it is, if I don't like it, I can change it. Whatever it is, if I don't like it, it has nothing to do with the power of Source that I am in the now. Because that is my only driving factor. And when I've got that, oh my God, I'm like Granny Clampett. I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. That's going to be stuck in your head the rest of the day. That was the intention. Jim Rohn said, you must take personal responsibility. You cannot change the circumstance, the seasons, or the wind, but you can transform yourself. And what we're suggesting to you is that you let whatever's going on out there go. Whatever's going on in the external world that brings you concern, that brings you worry, whatever it is, whether it's global warming, whether it's the fact that you can't close your left eye, whatever it is, let it go. And let the presence of God that you are come forward completely and fully in the now. Because here's what's going to happen. 5 years from now, you're going to look back on whatever it was and be laughing your behind off. Since you're going to be doing that 5 years from now, you may as well do it today. Follow that? You can only change how you choose to perceive. You can't change it, but you can change your perception. And when you change that perception, you up-level that vibration of joy and begin bringing in more like energy that will transform the experience. I want to leave you with this. It's from Henry Thurman, who said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then do that, because that's what the world needs, is people who have come alive. And you, by right of your presence, of you, by right of your being here, are fully alive here now. You, because of who you are, because of the conscious choice you make to know that I am more powerful than anything that's out there, that is being fully alive. That is what is being woke. That is what is knowing I am the presence of joy personified in the here and now. And with that truth, I will always be joy. And so ends our lesson. Namaste. All right.
Thank you again for selecting the Trinity Center for Spiritual Living podcast for your spiritual journey and for the expression of your generosity at trinitycenteratlanta.org/donate.